When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special edition Flow Wrestling Radio Live. This is probably my favorite FRL of the year, every single year. The bracket reveal show. It's like Christmas, but it lasts for a week and a half, I feel. And it's nice outside, and it's just all around awesome. To my right, an unfamiliar FRL face, but a familiar face to those of you that follow our rankings and whatnot, Jonathan Kozak. We call him John for short, just to save time.
Yep.
John, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What's your excitement level right now?
Oh, it's high. It's 10 out of 10. I told you earlier, you know, this today, like, this is one of my favorite days in the whole calendar, whole year. It's like perfect for fans to dive into brackets and just like look at all the matches that are going to come up. So I love this. I love this day.
Yeah, I love it too. To my left, my arch nemesis, my frenemy, minus the friend part of frenemy.
Just enemy. Is
Tyler Meisinger is here. Tyler, what are you even doing right now?
I'm just making sure I can monitor the YouTube and Facebook chat, make sure that any questions people ask live, we answer them live on air right in front of their faces.
Right.
Wait, and I say that, but.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, it could be right in front of their faces. So we're waiting for 125, and so just so you know how this goes, we're going to be kind of going one bracket at a time, starting at 125, working our way up through heavyweight. Jonathan Kozak, what is like your number one question, the number one thing you're most excited to dive into, let's say, once we have all these brackets?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, first, the topic on everyone's mind is Carter Sturacci. Where is he going to be at? How high, how low, you know, is he going to go? We think he's still the best wrestler in the country at 174 pounds, but we know he's not going to be there.
No, he's not going to be number one.
I think, like, my thought going into it is probably somewhere between, like, 4 through 6. Mm-hmm. Be surprised, you know, if he moves lower, but you don't really know. And then right after that, I think it's 133 with Vito. Where's Vito at? And then Crookham and Dayton, how do they sort?
All right, we've got 125. Why don't we jump right into it? 125 pounds. That's not the one. All right, he's our printer.
Oh.
125. Hot off the press. Number one seed, Braden Davis. I'm not surprised. Luke Stanish, the two. I think we're going to put him on this big guy over here eventually. Drake, the three. Matt Ramos, four. Jory Volk, five. He was the 5 seed at Big 12s.
Yeah.
Now he's the 5 seed at NCAAs. Good job, Jory. So this is the weight that's been the most discussed of the year.
Yeah.
Bar none. And this looks about right. There's chaos early. Look at this. McKee Tarakina. Mm-hmm. Round one is crazy.
Yeah.
What's
Certain and pool in round one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a crazy. I mean, Pullen didn't place at Big 12s. He won it the year before. That's wild for sure.
Let's look at this top half, maybe a little closer, where Braden will get the winner of the pigtail, the 32 and 33 seed. And then what else? Oh, Kaylor Noto, two All Americans facing each other in round one is crazy.
It would be wild to, like, go through this bracket and highlight who's all been ranked, like, in the top three this year. Because Noto was, for sure. He was, like, number two or number three.
Number one at a point.
He was number one. I mean, Volk's been up there in the top three as well.
Ramos,
yeah.
Davis.
Mm-hmm. So, Braden Davis at the one against Dean Peterson or Brett Unger round two. Like, I'm pretty sure they had an overtime match.
I think you're right.
Davis and Peterson. So round two there.
Yeah, that was a super competitive match. Rutgers was actually, they had a good start to that one. I don't think it was controversial, but I remember it was close. So I mean, Braden, we knew this would be the case, that the one seed, it's like, it's, yeah, I guess it's good to have, mm-hmm. but you know it's going to be fraught with difficulty. And going from Dean Peterson to the Figueroa McKee winner, not that I'm looking past Terracina there, but
yeah.
I mean, if you said it's Braden Davis versus Richard Figueroa in the quarter, if I told you that 4 months ago,
you'd say, yeah, you'd say Figueroa, no doubt.
You
right?
would, and you would also say, oh, Figs must have got the one seed and Braden Davis. You know, is that so? It's totally upside down from our perceptions, not a year ago, just a matter of months ago.
Yeah.
Anything else, or do we want to go down to the bottom half?
Yeah, I think we can go down to the bottom half. And what stands out to me, the bottom half, is I really like Drake Ayala's draw, like for him to make a run here to the semis. He did have an overtime match with Spratly, so that would be like a quarterfinal. But when you're looking at, you know, guys that he could go through, I think he kind of huge favorite against Eli Griffin. And then Provo Strickenberger, that's an interesting match.
Yeah.
But you feel like Ayala's the favorite, no doubt.
Yeah, that is a pretty favorable draw for a three. Spratly, he's already beaten. Flynn has been good this year, not great. I mean, Flynn Palmer's an interesting guy this season, just generally. He's really good from the top position, good with his cradle. So you can't look past that if you're Virginia Tech, though you're certainly favored. But yeah, I mean, Drake has to beat maybe Spratly to make a semi. That's pretty good. And then you're looking mm-hmm. down below, and it's the guy, you know, back from the dead.
Yeah.
Jacob Camacho. You know, this guy, I said, he was my preseason national champion pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually got to number one. And then within a matter of weeks, he was out of the lineup and close to unranked.
Yeah, we took him out of the rankings because they were wrestling Jared Trombley. But I like, I mean, his draw, Blake West, he's going to be the favorite there. Tanner Jordan, Eric Barnett.
Sorry to interrupt you guys. Just the fans really want us to put the bracket on the screen a little bit more. So that they
Yeah. That's a good call. Sorry
to interrupt you guys.
Just leave that.
Good interruption for once.
Yeah, leave that up there. I guess what we're talking. So this is the bottom half of 125. But man, Luke Stanich getting the two seed is incredible for a true freshman. But look at, like, his second round match is either Michael DiAgostino or Caleb Smith.
Yeah.
Out of the two. Like, I don't know. That's probably not the most favorable matchup for him.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's go back full one more time. Just so for
the full 125,
so people can see it fully 125, and then we can go to 33 after this in just a second. But yeah, I mean, that Smith DiAgostino round one match is totally insane. Both those guys have been ranked super high at different points in the year. Smith seems super matchup dependent. Like, if it's just a battle on the feet, he's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
If it gets to the mat, he's like McKee's giving him fits, Barnett's giving him fits. Those kind of guys can be really tough for him. He is smaller than I realized until I watched him in person at Big Ten. He's given up a little size. DiAgostino off the scale.
Yeah.
Now, it's a little different off the scale here because it's not only a two-hour weigh-in, but then you have the pigtail round.
Right.
And so that's another 45 minutes of recovery. So definitely that's like my round one match to watch. But yeah, that's crazy.
Who wins it all?
Man, I freaking change my mind all the time.
It feels like
we're the semifinalists.
Braden looks like the best guy.
It feels like Braden. My semifinalists, I'm going Braden. I'm going Drake Ayala. I don't know who Braden wrestles yet. Camacho, I think, gets out of the bottom. So, yeah, Ayala, Camacho, Braden Davis, and...
You're going to take the top four. I think I am. Dude,
Matt
I might.
Ramos. Ramos.
It's so funny that I think.
Camacho's not top four.
Camacho's seven.
Oh, you got Camacho going through Stanich.
Yeah. I like the way Camacho's wrestling. He looks really solid. It looks like he, like, has his confidence back, like, putting matches together, wrestling complete matches. I think he's back. Whatever he was dealing with for, like, that couple weeks, I think he's past it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a great matchup on the feet. Stanich is so tenacious.
We got 133 in.
In the hand fight. Okay.
I just printed it and telepathically sent it to the backside of your papers.
That was good.
Whoa. Yeah.
There it is. All right, let's go to 33. We can show the full bracket here. Dayton gets the one over Crookham.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't. I don't like it.
Go off, King.
Well, I mean, you look at Dayton's win this year is Kyrene. That's it. And Oklahoma State wrestled Lehigh.
Frost.
Yeah. Oklahoma State wrestled Lehigh. Ryan Crookham took the mat. Dayton Fix didn't.
Yeah.
Dayton Fix, or Ryan Crookham beat returning national champion Vito Rujau twice. Like, if that's not number one, I don't know what is. Obviously, you don't have the criteria to, you know, see if they wrestled in a duel and all that stuff. But for me, Crookham's number one.
Has Dayton not been the number one in the coaches' rank?
No.
It's been Crookham?
It's been Crookham. Yeah.
That's interesting. So I'm wondering
if they changed it or not, but.
And so we'll get into the process and like how it works for the seeding. Cause it's going to be hotly debated for sure. But what you'll find or hear a lot is like, they can move up to a certain point if they're within their cohort. Some of it can be debated, but some of it can't.
Yeah.
So like, all right, we haven't even said it, or maybe you did, but Vito Arusha's the sixth seed here, guys. Vito at the six. He's got, honestly, a great path to the quarter. I think if you're Cornell, you're like, okay, we'll take this. Gable Strickland, then the Romney Zaccone winner, and then Kyrene, he's been nothing but fantastic all year long. He's, I think, a deserving three seed. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Lost to Bouzakis, but other than that, only to Dayton Fix, and then beating Latona a couple times. He's been good. He's the three. That'll be interesting, Arujao, Orini. And then, you know, if you're Crookham, you're like, man, I got to beat Vito Arujao three times in one season.
Oh, my God.
That's wild, right?
That is wild. But, you know, after watching it, it's like, man, it feels like he's going to do it again. Very impressive. All right.
Nick Bouzakis at the 16.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, Aaron Nagao there at the 10, fascinating. Him versus Nasir Bailey, that's a crazy round two matchup.
And the winner of that would get Crookham, which, yeah, Crookham beat Nagao. Man, I feel like I said this at EIWA's. None of you guys were there to hear it. But I said, man, I think Nasir Bailey is a tough matchup for Ryan Crookham.
You did.
Just the way that Crookham wrestles. He leaves himself open to wrestle like close matches because he kind of likes to wrestle from space and stuff. So, I think Crookham Bailey is a really close match.
Yeah,
Bailey's really good on top. He's really really tough from neutral as well. So
pick your semifinalists.
Dayton. Man, what do you do? What do we even think about this Shaver Ragason thing?
Dayton. Ragason, Vito, Crookham.
What makes you pick Ragason after?
I'm from Michigan. I think that Shaver Ragason final, I think it was everything went out the window after Shaver put him on his back in the first period. Like,
yeah.
In that, like, 50-50, like, the when they went upper body. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a close match. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a blowout either way.
Shaver apparently listened to like all the video. Oh, what do you got?
Fresh off the presses.
Oh, he got 141. Who gave this guy printer access?
Oh,
you use the color print?
Oh yeah.
What the heck, bro?
Oh, we got money.
All right. Yeah, we got that color printer money. So, man, I don't want to do my semifinalists. This is you're trivializing. What a difficult and very deeply personal decision that is, Tyler.
Well, you have to contextualize it for the fans, Christian.
Well, so the way I think about it for Shaver at Big Tens was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. After I interviewed him before the tournament, because I did a video and did not pick him to win or I think even make the finals. And he sure did. And now I like him a lot. And now I want to pick him to lose again to inspire another run. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Ragason. Dylan. I hope you're watching.
Ragason.
That's for you, Dylan.
He does have a tough path. He's got Kolioko round one. We've had Kolioko ranked in the top 10 this year. And then Sam Latona round
two. War.
Yeah.
Latona.
It's,
let's go.
It's not good for Ragason.
No, not good at all. And Latona already beat Dylan Strada this year.
We did look it up. Dylan, last time Dylan and Latona wrestled was CKLV 2022, and Dylan beat him 3-1.
Yeah.
With a 2-point takedown.
Whoa.
You have to clarify that now.
You do. You actually do. Except we know that every other year was a 2-point.
Well, sometimes people have short memories.
Yeah, I do. All right. What? Okay, this is crazy, but I think mostly right, except for, yeah, I'm kind of with you on the Crookham thing, but no debates here. Let's go to full screen 141. Jesse Mendez, the 1. Bo Bartlett, the 2. Real Woods, 3. Ryan Jack, 4. Etchemin Dia, 5. About what we thought, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Limley's an 8. Limley 8, Hardy 9 is crazy.
Yeah.
Those guys are so good. And for Jesse Mendez, he, for his purposes, only has to beat one of them because I think they're both pretty decent matchups. But Jesse, you know, he could be separating a little bit here. What else is standing out to you? Hey, also, before that, John, are our friends, are there any inquisitions from our pals?
Mostly people just want to make sure we keep the brackets on screen and stop showing our faces.
Okay.
Yeah.
They hate
us. They want to see us, which is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they
Amanda's crushing it right
she's
now.
She's doing great.
Record. I think she had the same instructor before. She's like, the less of their faces, the better. I think that's yeah. just like the general like producer sort of training is like less of the wrestling team on camera.
So Real Woods, Clay Carlson, round 1 is so funny.
Real beat or lost to him in the round of 12 in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clay Carlson's a 2-time All-American. And for a 30 seed, 17-7 is not bad. I don't think he has that many bad losses.
Yeah.
That's a crazy round one match. And then, honestly, of the three, I think it's just as, you know, Vasquez-Hines winner is similar difficulty to Carlson.
Mm-hmm. We also have 149. Whenever you guys are ready, I telepathically transport it to the back of your 141 sheet. Oh, yeah. Take your time with 141. But
cool. Look at Cole Matthews' band. He's sitting at 57.
Wild.
Against Mitch Moore. He gets Bo Bartlett in his second match. Do you guys remember? He wrestled Bo in the craziest match where he kind of had it won. Mm-hmm. And Bo got like a tiebreaker takedown.
Yeah.
After he was losing, he's just like, and it was crazy. So
yeah, that was a 3-6
what
matchup last year.
Odds would you need for this match to go regulation? It feels like the most sudden victory match of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay, looking around, what else you got for us, John?
At 41, well, it is crazy that Cole Matthews is the 18 because he's beaten the number 1, Jesse Mendez this year, number 6, Lachlan McNeil, and number 4, Ryan Jack. And he has a bunch of not great losses.
So the things working against him, it's not even the not so great losses. It's his
win
percentage, 16-10. Did not have, he didn't win his conference.
Yeah.
All those things make it tough.
Right. Yeah. I don't like that you got like some conference rematches like early. So like we said, Hardy and Lemley at the 8 and the 9, but then also Happel and Jameson at the 7 and 10. I know you can't do anything about that.
That never ever bothers me in my life.
Yeah.
All right. We're 49. We can do it, right?
Do it.
We can do it.
Let's get it. Maybe we can circle back on some of these. Love
who's
it.
Who's your prediction for 141 champ? Real quick.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse Mendez.
Actually,
I need you guys to say it so I can clip it out for social tomorrow.
No, I don't want any of this clip. I don't even want this live streamed. I don't know. This is a holiday, and my picks don't count right now, yet.
Okay.
And anything I say, this is under the immunity portion of the show. 149. Ridge Lovett, 1. Kyle Parco, 2. Arrington, 3. Henson, 4. Ty Waters, go WVU, is the 5 seed. All right. Ethan Fernandez, the 9 seed. Who did this?
Yeah. Man, I'm pretty sure we have him ranked like in the 20s. and it's not like, yeah, he's 26. Now, he did win EIWAs. But his only ranked wins are against, maybe, does he have any? I don't know if he has any ranked wins. His only wins against qualifiers are other EIWA wrestlers. So
what are we doing?
I don't know.
What's the highest seeded? Yet? Well, I guess obviously other than him.
Yeah. And then
Elvin Griffin.
Quinn Kinner at the 11 is wild too, because we have him ranked 30th, and
that's kind of a disparity.
And he's had some losses this year. Like, he lost to Finn Solomon, who needed a wild card.
Yeah.
Well,
we saw this a lot last year too. Weak schedules, weak conferences get rewarded in these. They like the high percentage in a conference champ. That's a huge bump up. You look at it on paper. Oh, Ethan Fernandez, a conference champ, 22-6, and the numbers like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter who you beat or who beat you, unfortunately, in some instances. Okay, interesting. Austin Gomez out of the six.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Crook, Quinn Kinner. That's a nice path to the man. Not a bad path for Austin Gomez. Arrington in the quarter. Arrington's tough, but
yeah,
I feel like you favor Austin.
And I think, you know, obviously Arrington beat Henson in like the whatever controversial. Like, I think Henson still should have been the three. He beat Arrington earlier this year, and he beat Parco this year. I think Henson should have been the three.
He's hammered for not winning his conference there.
Yeah. Yeah. But even still, like, I think Henson makes the semis. He'll be a big favorite. Waters has been good, but Henson's been better this year. So, like, we'll see a rematch between Lovett and Henson, most likely, in that semi.
Yep.
157, hot off the presses, by the way.
Okay.
As is 165, whenever you guys are ready.
Hey, well, since it's going ahead, let's get – we'll just wait, and we'll just do 174 next when we get to that, because that's all everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And okay. Then we can bounce back and skip around.
So you want to stay on 49 for now?
Yeah, well, I guess we could go to 57. I mean, this looks
– What do you want, huh?
Give me 57.
Got me shuffling all these papers around.
Give me 57.
Around. Okay.
Give me 57, bracket boy. Thanks, dude. All right. Levi 1, Ja'Cory 2, Meyer Shapiro 3.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Meyer Shapiro, Cody Chittum, round 2.
It's – all right, now, if it doesn't happen this time, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
This match
It should happen.
This match has been supposed to happen since Nam, and now maybe will finally happen. I need this match. They're going to fight, like – legally and illegally, I'm almost certain of it. It's my number one round two match, without a doubt, so far.
At round two and 157 is going to be, like, can't miss, must-watch TV.
Let's look, just hypothetically, Levi Haynes versus Brock Mahler, a three-time All-American round two. These are just round two matches. Willowan versus Peyton Robb, two guys that have probably both been ranked number one. Ryder Downey, Bryce Andonian, round two. Blockus, Ed Scott, round two. Shapiro, Chittum. Brayton Lee, Daniel Cardenas. Peyton Keller is the seven.
Yeah.
Versus Jared Franek. All right, that's not as juicy. And then Swenson or Zerbin.
Or Zerbin.
Zerbin got crushed.
Zerbin's the 18.
Oh, my gosh. He was number two, I think.
Zerbin's been ranked number two since the scuffle, I think. So since the new year and until Big 12s. And now he's the 18, which it just shows you how deep 57 is.
Yeah.
It's the deepest weight.
Hey, I'm seeing 74.
Okay.
We're skipping 65. Sorry, Keegan.
Keegan, number one seed.
Carter Sturaci is the 9.
Golly. That means Makai Lewis, Carter Sturaci, quarterfinals.
That's not good behavior. This is not good, people.
What do you think Tony Roby's doing right now?
Well, if he had any hair, he'd pull it out. Now, instead, I don't know what Tony Roby's doing. Tony Roby is not happy because his guy, Makai, is the rightful one seed, and Carter got the 9. Now, I sort of advocated for, like, hey, move it around a little bit so that Sturaci is, you know, I don't know. If you can't make him the 1 or the 2, which I think would have been fine, but we knew was not a reality or a possibility in any way, shape, or form. So it's like, you know, move it around so he can be like, you know, so you insulate the 1 and the 2 seeds, right? And they did not do that. They made him the 9 seed, which just brutal. Phil Conigliaro's the 5 somehow. That guy went 0 for Benny Baker on the weekend and is
Benny. Yeah, Benny Baker, who is the 26.
He's the 26. He lost to him. The 5 seed. Listen to this, guys. This is how this process works. The math that gets spit in this thing. The 5 seed lost to number 26. You say, oh, these things happen Saturday. not November, not October, you know, not December. Wasn't like CKLV. It was Saturday. That's where he's at. And they did not punish him. Yeah. They rewarded him. What is it? Week schedule? Yeah, he has the Kemp win.
He has Kemp win. He did beat in Contreras and Wolick too in the regular season. But he has all those wins that are like
solid.
Yeah, solid. And keeping him, I think, from moving down. That's the only thing I can.
Who's the 6? Rocco Welsh.
Rocco Welsh.
Like his draw, although I keep saying that, and then he just loses to Edmund Ruth every time I say that.
Yeah.
Which is once, but.
All right, listen to this. All right, Makai Lewis, national champ, topside. Carter Strachey, national champ, topside. Shane Griffith, national champ, topside. There's 3 past national champions in the top side of the bracket, and there's 1 All-American in the bottom side of the bracket.
That's well-seeded. That's good. That's it. You know, you want to separate the best or just put them all in the top side and put 1 All-American who's the 22 seed.
Yeah, Mako, the 22 seed, is the only All-American.
Oh, my gosh.
So wild.
That's crazy. So DeVos is the 2, Ruth the 3, Griffith 4, Coniglio, obviously, 5.
Tyler, have you gotten any updates on Shane Griffith's health since this morning?
No. Maybe. But not really, no.
Man.
I hope he's doing well.
Carter said in the interview today he's fully healthy now. Yeah, he's not gonna say healthy. He's not gonna say my knee hurts or my knee's injured or I can't do my swim high crotch or whatever, but
he also said he wanted to wrestle every wrestler in the
So and I know what you guys are thinking. Yeah, he wants to wrestle the back. No, he wants to wrestle all 33 wrestlers, 32 other wrestlers.
That's what he tweeted.
In 3 days. That's what he said.
Oh, you're right. He said it.
Out of his mouth.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it was a mouth tweet. what the heck? All right. More to come on that. Let's go back to 65, because that honestly is one that was super interesting.
David Carr is the 4 seed. Which?
Keegan O'Toole, yeah. We knew, I mean.
We knew that was a possibility because Cornell ducked, and it worked. Julian Ramirez sat after wrestling all day. And we talked about this when it happened, and we said, hey, this is what they're going for. And we'll see how it works. But Julian gets the benefit of getting seated ahead of David Carr. If Carr gets that win, I feel pretty certain he's the 3 opposite Keegan O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands, he didn't get that opportunity. And listen, give credit. Julian did beat David Carr at the CKLV. Wow. So it's going to be Carr, Keegan, potentially semi. Dean Hamity cannot be overlooked out of the 5. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Messenbrink, the obvious 2 seed there. We knew it was going to be Keegan and Mitchell, almost guaranteed the top 2 seeds as the only 2 undefeated guys. What's 8-9? So it's Peyton Hall and Trell Taylor. Kind of interesting.
Peyton Hall, I mean, he wrestled Keegan really tough.
Every time. Yeah, I mean, he almost beat him at the dual meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Cam Amin out of the 10, you know, he was like, it seemed like he was going to probably beat Olenek at Vegas, and then he lost
last second takedown.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're a Michigan man such as yourself.
And that is me.
You don't feel horrible about that. 10 seed feels.
As a Michigan man, I was a little sad because he has Messenbrink in his quarter, but who put it on him a little bit in the duel. But then I reminded myself that there really is no easy quarter in this bracket.
No, like if he was the...
If it's not Messenbrink, it's Carr or O'Toole. Maybe the best matchup would be Julian Ramirez, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, if he was the 11, but he'd still...
No, he wants Hamity every time.
For some reason.
Right?
Yeah, he's never lost to him.
Well, maybe they'll see each other.
But if you have Hamity, then you're in...
Yeah, in Carr.
Carr's
yeah.
quarter.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's just this way. It's so good. Man, this is exciting. Okay.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, this is incredible. So Mitchell's path, Connor Brady or Casella, and then Olenek or Amin, and then Julian or Kelly. Dude, He's getting a bonus all the way through.
How do we feel about Caliendo Ramirez? They've never wrestled.
Two really good athletes.
Yeah.
Good leg attack. I mean, Caliendo's got to avoid the big move against Julian. You know, mm-hmm. he's got a lot of near fall capabilities. I feel like Caliendo, I would pick him, but I have no idea. I mean, what Julian's done this year, it has been very impressive. He's been good.
We were talking about it a little today. He has the craziest hit list.
Yeah.
But he's just never been able to put it together at Nationals.
Yeah. Yet. Feels like he's going to this year. Because he's beaten David Carr. He's beaten Shane Griffith.
Quincy Monday
multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that alone. He's got other good wins. Don't get me wrong. Okay, 65. All right, did we do this? Did we exhaust 57? Because I know we kind of... I read all the rounds.
I'll tell you why I'm upset about 57.
Willowan,
Peyton Robb, 8-9.
Winner gets Levi Haynes.
So yeah. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But, man, Will does better against Levi than almost anyone.
I'm still predicting Will NCAA champ.
Right.
Well, and Will's got Saldate round one.
Yeah, who he has close matches
with. Who beat Will last year.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, my gosh, that's a tough first round. I didn't even look at it. Chumbly's a 25.
I couldn't imagine a more fitting way for Will to win a national title.
Than the most brutal path possible.
Just what I believe.
Beat a Michigan State guy. That's really tough. Then Peyton Robb. What do we think about Bryce Andonian? Because if he was healthy, he's not, though. What am I talking? Just let me do that sometimes for Virginia Tech. Just to have those moments.
How do we feel about Michael Blockus is my question.
Young Michael. Yeah, he
tweeted that he's feeling good.
Feeling good? Well, mm-hmm. I don't know what he hurt.
I don't either.
Knee, ankles. It looked like one of those things.
Lower body injury.
Yeah.
He's dangerous, man. I mean, he beat Franek and Robb like back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Or maybe even the same weekend. Braden Lee's right. He's right there. I mean, he could make a quarter versus Meyer. Man, Meyer. Meyer's making the semis. I think he's making the finals.
Because like you're saying this is the deepest weight.
Yeah.
So what you think?
That's the, sure.
Look at these 24 Saldate, 25 Chumbly. These guys are all good.
I mean, like Saldate was like a second away from beating Levi Haynes like three times in their duel.
Vinny Zerbin, 18, was ranked second in the country.
Blockus, 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to mention the great Levi Haynes, the great Jacory.
Ed Scott, the 4, has lost to number 27, Sonny Santiago, and number 23, Joey Blaze. Joey Blaze also beat Peyton Robb, so he's the 23 seed.
Yeah,
but he's beaten the 8 seed and the 4 seed. So
it's a savage weight. These guys are really good, and there's a lot of really different styles in this bracket as well. Yeah. I guess we can go 84, right?
Yeah, you guys got them in your hand there.
Wow, you teleported that one too. 84, Parker Kekkeis and Isaiah Salazar, Dustin Plott the 3, Trey Munoz 4, Pinto 5. Bernie Truax, the 6. Thomas Stewart Jr., a.k.a. TJ, out of the 7. Okay, what do we think about this? Sorry, this looks about right?
Yeah, nothing really glaring. I mean, Chris Foca is the 14, so you could have Foca Plot round 2. So, like, at the beginning of the year, I think everybody thought, man, Foca, if he goes, he's going 84, like, title threat. Right,
100%.
And he's been good. I mean, he's had some good wins. He can't beat Aaron Azaroff.
You got to keep him away from Azaroff.
Yeah, he can't beat him.
He's 0-3 against him.
Which they're on opposite sides of the bracket. But yeah, like Plot Foca in the second round is nuts. TJ Stewart is I'm so impressed with how he's wrestling.
He looks really good.
He looks really good.
He lost a match to Gavin Kane where I was like, I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my gosh. He just fell off. What's going on? And then he's got better. He got in shape or whatever it was. He fell off.
So he's going to wrestle. Really he's probably going to wrestle Fishback in the second round, which he's 2-0 against them, and those matches haven't been close.
Yeah.
So I think he'll make the quarters where Salazar, like, I don't know. I feel like that match is going to be really close. Salazar's really good.
He's super physical, really tough on top, really – he's really strong. Like TJ has incredible power and speed to the leg. It's like I think Salazar matches up okay, but TJ, it feels like when you have a guy that's just like boom, going up and to the right as hard as he is. It's like, who knows what kind of trajectory he's on right now.
Yeah.
Man, and for Virginia Tech, if they, listen, I'm just going to do this. You can fight me. But, like, if they're trying to get in this trophy race, like, a performance from TJ can get him in there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, maybe we'll do this at the end, but, like, the team race, like, looking at who has good draws and who doesn't. But the 4-5, Munoz Pinto, that's a potential quarter. I feel like fairly confident that'll be it. But 197.
We'll get to that in a second. Bergie Kekeisen. I don't think he's ever wrestled Kekeisen tough, or Wolf has either. No one's wrestled. Only Bernie's really probably been the biggest test for Parker.
Yeah.
This year, and he's opposite. What do you think about Bernie Truex's draw? Only 14-4. I feel like he didn't miss a single match this year.
I mean, Penn State guys across the board.
Really low match
times. Yeah. Who has the most matches out of any Penn State guy? I don't know. Bernie. Man.
Maybe Mitchell.
Man. No, Bernie. I mean, I don't know what to. I feel like he's going to finish. He's going to finish fourth, right? No. Because he's finished fourth three times.
Yeah.
But how does he match up against Plott?
I think good.
You think he matches?
I don't know.
Dude, Plott's been so good this year.
He's been fantastic.
Outside of losing to Kekeisen, he's been really, really good.
Yeah, he's been great all year long. He had a Pinto loss, I think.
And then he avenged it.
Avenged it.
Yep.
And lost to Parker twice.
Parker twice. And he's been on the ropes against some guys.
Bergie.
Against Munoz and Fishback, and he just like found a way to win in all of those matches.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah, like the way that Plott's wrestling this year, I don't know, feels like he's gonna make the finals.
Plott Foca round two. Wow, finals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'm there yet.
No, you think Bernie?
But I could get there. Yeah, I'm just like all in.
Yeah?
I just think it's gonna happen. No real reason. Just think he's got it. I don't know. I am high on Bernie, obviously. Foca Plott is a really fun second round match.
Yeah.
As well.
Yep. Bullock Pinto in round two, they had an overtime match, I think, at Big Tens, right?
Third and fourth.
Yeah.
Right? Or was it in the. Yeah, third and fourth, right?
It was third and fourth. It was close, too.
Yeah.
I felt like I watched that match. I'm like, I'm not sure Bullock could ever take this guy down.
Yeah.
Bullock, Michigan man, he's winning this bracket.
And he's from Virginia, which is. Honestly, why?
So you agree?
Yeah, he's probably going to win. I mean, he's probably going to beat Parker Kekeisen. Okay. Fun weight. Good stuff. 197 is ready. Oh. All right. Aaron Brooks is the one? Just kidding.
What?
Heidley, 2. Tanner Sloan, 3. Beard, 4. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cardenas, 5. Dupre, 6. Wow. From like retirement to the 6th seed. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Glazier 7 versus the GOAT Andy Smith. And then Silas Allred lurking at the 10 there. Okay, interesting.
Dude, and Rocky Elam at the 12 is crazy.
Wow.
He's a 3-time All-American, right? Or 2-time All-American?
Couple.
Yeah.
I'll give him 3.
So Rocky Elam at 12, he is maxed out, and then likely Jacob Cardenas in the second round. They had a really close match. Just a few weeks ago. Rocky Elam's only losses this year are Cardenas and Tanner Sloan twice.
That ain't bad.
And he's the 12th seed.
He only has 11 wins.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help. Okay. Tanner, the 3, Beard, the 4. How do we feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like Beard could have been the 3. Both have one loss. Beard's losses to Heidley. But losses don't matter, right? Yeah. So it's just about...
They do to me. When people say that, I get sad because they matter so much.
But in like what I mean is then the like the seeding criteria.
You're
like
part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. They only matter for winning percentage. That's it.
Yeah.
So...
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
That's why freaking Tyler was the 33 seed.
So stupid.
He would have been like probably like the 8.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
higher.
Mm-hmm. The 2.
Yeah.
Opposite Alex Marinelli.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No one can say that I wouldn't have won it that year.
No, I won't ever say it. You were my pick. And honestly,
we'll never know.
You were my pick. You can go back and listen to those FRLs. You'll hear me.
I listened.
I said, there's something about this guy. This Meisinger guy. I've seen he's just something about him. Okay. Stephen Buchanan, the eighth seed, versus Little. He's got Little in round two. Little's had a great year, 21-2. He's really tough. There's a lot of tough guys at this weight class. Jackson Smith, the 11 for Maryland. He was our third-ranked guy coming into conferences, I think.
Yeah, he lost to Allred and
Glazier.
Glazier, and that really dropped him. He would have been, you know, he would have been top 5-6.
5-6
seed. If he was runner-up at Big Tens. Maybe 4-5. Stephen Little out of Little Rock. Like, I feel like he is a guy that has been not overlooked, but just he's not in front of people a lot. Like, he didn't wrestle at CKLV, didn't wrestle at Scuffle. So, I don't know. He's really good. He beat Jackson Smith this year. I think he can All-American. I don't think he can beat Aaron Brooks, though. So,
no, I don't think. So, how much of a chance are you giving anyone against Aaron Brooks? And by anyone, I mean,
yeah, it's Hydeley. It's Hydeley. Yeah, it's Trent Hydeley, and I think, you know, we've seen him wrestle in the past. They wrestle 10 times. Hydeley wins 1.
Yeah. So. Oh, Braden Davis versus Peterson was sorry. I got a DM.
Oh yeah,
they didn't have review.
Yep. So it was the takedown at the end of the match.
It wasn't a takedown.
No, it wasn't. But
that's what it was. I knew there was something.
How about that?
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah, that's the second round match. Potentially.
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 Okay. Should we go to heavyweight? Let's talk about them big boys.
Yeah, heavyweight. Heavy Chevys.
Heavy Chevrolets. Greg Kirkfleet, Jongar Bastida, Wyatt Hendrickson, Colton Schultz, the 4. Nathan Taylor, the 5. Zach Elam, the 6. Tay Gadali, 7. 8, Treffen, 9, Feldman. Ooh, ouch. Thought Feldman might get, but he had a bad rough. He had a kind of rough start to the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about a heavy Chevy matchup, round one?
Yeah,
we got Nash Huttmacher and Colton Schultz.
Let's go. Could be the heaviest match ever wrestled NCAAs. Caleb Davis Piles will confirm because he looks at all the weights when they are entered. But oh yeah, oh
you and I just looked up their weights.
He looked up Pac-12. It was like 280.
280 for Colton, and Nash weighed in at like 284, I think. Right?
Yeah,
283.
So this is that 3 pounds gonna be the difference? Colton is always bigger than the guys he wrestles.
It's true.
Unless it's Adam Kuhn.
Then he's smaller.
Then he's smaller. Okay. Younger. So here's the thing. Younger not getting the one just says it's all about past. It's not all about, but the past accomplishments really matter. Because there's no measurement that he doesn't have the better season.
Right.
Because he beat so many ranked guys this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with Kirkfleet being the one, the only thing is what coach's ranking they would have him at the one.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the deciding factor. If I had to guess, okay, so Wyatt versus Younger, the 2 and 3, so we could potentially see that one again,
mm-hmm.
which signed me up. And it's almost like it's setting up perfect for Younger to see if he can do it and be the Grim Reaper for the last guy, Greg Kirkfleet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nick Feldman was someone I feel like could go on a run with a draw, but
he can make the quarters.
He could make the quarters.
Yeah. He did wrestle Kirkfleet better in the Big Ten finals, but still wasn't that close.
Yes.
Pitzer out of the 21 is really interesting. He beat number 5 Nathan Taylor this year.
Yep.
So like if you're Nathan Taylor, he's had a great season. That's probably not a match you want in the second round. But Pitzer kind of only has one shoulder too.
Do me a favor, put your Michigan goggles on with me.
Let me get.
How is Lucas Davis in the 10 seed? That's crazy to me.
Because he lost to the 9 seed twice.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
You must really hate. If you don't like that, you must really hate where Nick Feldman is.
But Tyler, he did. So, Tay Gadali,
mm-hmm.
He's going to have him second round. Mm-hmm. He beat him at CKLV.
Okay.
So he's the 7th seed.
He has a decent path.
Yeah.
Two Younger.
Yeah.
That was a fun match, him versus Younger at CKLV.
Yeah, and if he wouldn't have got lifted above his head, he'd have won that match, right?
So, no, that actually was not a takedown.
No?
The lifting above his head one?
That's the only thing
that was not the one that... That was not a scoring sequence.
No, but I gave him 2 for that.
And amplitude.
Correct throw, yeah.
Yep, correct. Correct lift of Lucas Davison.
Lucas Davison, NCAA.
Hey, can we pull in, I know someone's been crunching the numbers, the projected team scores based off these seeds?
I got my computer running down here.
These guys' computer. It's been compiling all the data.
Computing.
It's just been using.
Hey, Siri, compile the projected team scores of.
Yeah, I plugged in, you know.
We should send this to Amanda.
Okay.
Hold on. We should make it a game. We should get the chat involved real quick before you say it.
Let's involve the friends.
Who do you think the top 5 teams are projected by seeds, chat? Let us know.
Ready,
we'll read some of your submissions.
I'll give you a hint. Penn State's number 1. That's it.
That's all you get.
Buy some time while we let some of these chatters get in.
Well, does it feel like anyone... It doesn't feel to me... Well, Missouri's draws don't seem great. And Iowa's seem fine, not awesome. Nebraska's...
It feels like most of the Big Ten got dinged.
Michigan's weren't great. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
For Penn State.
They have a really... Yeah, because... Yeah.
Because they're very good.
They're super good. They had no one placed lower than 3rd at Big Tens other than Carter, which is crazy.
We don't have any in the chat yet.
No guesses?
No guesses yet.
Wow.
Stumped
them.
Top 5 team scores.
NC State's obviously.
Based on seeds.
They got a lot of guys. Lehigh's got a lot of guys.
We got some single answers. We got an Iowa. We got an Iowa State.
Nope. Wrong.
Wrong and wrong.
None of them are in the top 5.
Neither of those teams are projected top 5 according to. Okay. We got one full answer. PSU, Mizzou, Iowa State, NC State, Michigan.
All right. Contrast that to the reality, Jonathan. Taylor Thomas.
We got one more. Penn State, Michigan, Iowa, Iowa State, Nebraska. Oh, we got a bunch more. Sorry, I think the chat is just delayed a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you get my Slack? Can you send them to Amanda?
Oh, yeah, I can send those over to Amanda. Go ahead and tell the people.
A lot of name record, a lot of Amanda references this show. The producer, Josh, must be getting
just as much a star.
Yeah. There is no show without Amanda. So we're going to send those to her.
I'm emailing those to you, Amanda.
But read them out loud. Read them out loud. We don't have to wait.
Out loud. All right. Number 1, drum roll. Penn State.
Okay.
131.5 points.
Not a ton.
Penn State. Well, they're not getting any for Carter.
Yeah, they're getting like 2 points
at the 9. And they're not getting any for Nagao at the 10.
Okay.
And we have them ranked higher.
Yeah. Is that because he won Nationals 3 times?
It's because yep.
That's why we have him ranked higher?
Yep.
Or is it because he majored Mekhi Lewis this year?
It's because he said he was going to cut everybody's throats out.
He said in his interview he's got to cut everyone's throats off.
Yeah. All right, Penn State number 1, 131.5. NC State number 2, 83 points.
Dang, so they're 50 back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nebraska number 3, 58 points.
That's crazy.
So Penn State... 131, NC State, 83, Nebraska, 58, Lehigh, 57.
The only person, actually 2 people guessed Lehigh. We got Nori Badrus in the chat and Avery Gaming.
Avery's just a huge...
Nick Zulk.
So Lehigh's got 2 number 2 seeds, a number 4 seed, and a number 5 seed.
Dang.
It's pretty good.
That's really good. This is just not at all reflective of kind of the rankings. All year long, the 2 through 6, 7, 8 has been separated by 5, 10 points. Mm-hmm. Now you've got NC State up 30, basically 25 on number 3.
Yeah.
Do you think that is reality? Do you think that's what we're going to see?
No, I don't.
You don't think they're that far?
I don't think so. I think if you look at Kyorini at the 3 seed, he's got Vito in the quarters, so he could be wrestling in the round of 12. You look at Jackson Arrington, the 3 seed, he's got Austin Gomez in the quarters. He could be wrestling in the round of 12. Yeah. Camacho as a 7. So it's like the variance is is so high. You know, Heidley feels like the only sure thing. Owen Treffen at the eight.
Yeah.
He's like hanging on by a thread too. So, I mean, they're set up really good. They have really good seeds.
Iowa ninth
is
wow.
Is so wild. When was the last time they finished outside the top five?
Tom Brand's first year, maybe. And what? I think they were sixth that year.
Yeah.
That was the year. It was his first year. All mm-hmm. those guys were still like redshirt or suspended or whatever.
Yeah. So then Oklahoma State's fifth with 55.
So the best guessing chatter guessed four of the top five correct.
Good job.
Nuri Badrous guessed Penn State, Lehigh, Nebraska, NC State, and Michigan. So they only missed Oklahoma State.
Michigan.
Where is Michigan?
The 11.
Are they really?
They're a half point outside of...
behind the Hokies. Yeah, how does that make you feel? Virginia Tech.
Missouri.
Big Ten bias.
Okay, listen to this. Missouri at one point this year was number two. They were ranked number two.
Uh-huh.
Off of their seeds, they're number 12. Only predicted to get or projected to get 36 points. Missouri.
Yeah. Well, that someone like Certain has been ranked really high at points.
And Certain's been high. Mako's been high. Elam's been a lot higher. It's like they got a bunch of guys. And Brock Mahler. Brock Mahler's been like top five this year, and he's 17. So, yeah, it's.
Holy cow.
It's nuts. But really, look at any of these top 10 teams. They could. Any of them. They're separated by what? 12 points from third. So that's like a couple placements.
One guy places while the other doesn't.
That's right.
Also,
right.
South Dakota State 14, Ohio State 35 and 13th. Man, that's really interesting. Okay. So this I'm just so surprised of the difference between NC State and the field.
Yeah.
On the seeds. And is that advantage, you know, the fact that they have sort of, I'll say a head start, but just at least in the seeding and the advantage that comes with that, you know, is that enough to keep them at the two? Because they have had a really strong year. They had that bad Ohio State duel, I want to say, where they got pinned in like the first three matches.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. McCrone pinned Camacho, Bouzakis pinned Orini, and then Jack got pinned by Mendez.
Mendez, yeah.
That's not a great way to start a duel.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I looked into it.
I think their seeds put them in a great spot to at least get the quarters, to get to the quarters.
Yeah,
in a ton of weights, which is sometimes is like, that's all you need to put yourself one match away from All American. So,
holy cow! Do we want to revisit any of the other weights?
I mean,
because I don't know if we were.
What do we
or do we have other? We have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff on the site. Like, I don't know if we talked about Starace getting the nine enough.
Enough.
Like, how did it happen that he gets the nine seat?
I want to file a Freedom of Information Act. Finally. We can pull 74 back in if you want. Are they yelling about that still?
About 74?
Or just about
not putting stuff on the screen? No.
Not that.
We've been doing a great job of it, I think.
Okay, good.
I do. Shout out Bennett Durham Klein. He's made two donations putting out his top five team guesses. Penn State, NC State, Iowa State, Nebraska, Iowa.
That's not necessary.
It was 3 for 5. And Penn State, NC State, he was guessing team scores as well. Shout out Bennett Durham Klein.
Thank you. One thing I'll say on 74, we will revisit that, but I don't think we talk about Kennedy's path, which I think is not bad. Eichens, Conigliaro, and then a potentially hobbled Shane Griffith.
Yeah. So Iowa. Iowa could make up some points there for
100%.
Sure.
I mean, Kennedy's been really good this year. But yes, Starace is the nine. It's interesting. He has Andrew Sparks round one, a man who he had to sort of face a defeat to.
Revenge match.
He'll probably make a point of that.
Yeah.
He probably will be mad at Andrew Sparks about that. He just had nothing to do with it. I mean, I think it's not good. I think it merits revisiting maybe the process at large or whatever. I have to assume they couldn't go higher than nine, or I think they would have.
Right.
Because, you know, that's the way it works, right? They have the cohort, and then you can debate within the cohort, but you can't do anything beyond that. And certainly someone with his resume, you're going to shoot him up as high as you can. And this, you know, let's be clear. It's not just that he didn't wrestle at Big Tens. He missed a chunk of time during the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
with injury, and he didn't wrestle Shane Griffith. So he gets a little ding for that. But he's got a head-to-head over Rocco Welsh, so you think that could get him at the six, right? Like, you would think there would be a way to finagle it a little bit and go ahead of a guy you beat straight up head-to-head. And you know what? This is, you know, I said what I said, like, merits maybe revisiting, but this is a really rare circumstance. We have a three-time NCAA champion in this position. We haven't seen anything like this really before. We've had high seed guys that get injured, like Nick Suriano, and, you know, it's happened to other good guys in the past as well. Makai Lewis a couple of years back. But I don't know.
JD was saying earlier this might end up being the lowest seeded three-timer going for his fourth ever. That's probably a thing that will not be beaten for
many
decades.
If Carter was going for a record there, I think he could go for it.
It's weird seeing a 12-2 next to his name.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows just so few matches this year. And so almost as interesting is just how wide open that bottom half is. I mean, if Peyton Mocco gets hot, this guy's a 22, but I don't know. Feels like Rocco Welsh could go on a run, Edmund Ruth, Cade DeVos. And you have so many. The top half is most interesting because maybe the two best guys or two of the three best guys both have serious injury questions. We have no idea how healthy Shane Griffith is.
Yeah.
He forfeited his last match. We have no idea how healthy Carter Storace is. Of course, he's going to say he's healthy. And I do believe for a fact he is wrestling at NCAAs. They would not put him out there at media day if he wasn't wrestling. Or I don't think it's media day, but, you know, they wouldn't make him available like that if it was so, you know, if it was touch and go. I feel with every ounce of my being, he's going to wrestle. The question is, how good is he going to be? And, you know, a hobbled Carter Storace versus a Makai Lewis is really interesting because we know that match can be competitive. There was in 2022, it was competitive. It was seconds of riding time that separated them, I think.
Yeah.
And Adam Kemp's a tough customer as well. I wonder if I'm getting texts or people yelling.
Man. Yeah, if you haven't seen the Carter Storace interview, it is interesting because he's pretty candid about the situation and how frustrated he was. But now, like, he's got some perspective and he's like, you know, Cale was in a lose-lose situation there. He's like, put me out there and I hurt my knee more than he's second-guessing himself, but don't put me out there and I'm angry with him. And so he's like, I get it. He was in a, like, so it's like,
yeah,
man, you don't always get that, like, type of candor from, you know, Penn State guys or, you know, just those type of interviews. A lot of times it's coach talk or whatever. They're just saying what, you know, they won't think you want you to hear. But it's an interesting interview. We have that up on the site. Cale talks about it too. How close to 100% is Carter Storace? That's like the...
What percentage does he need to be to win this tournament?
I mean, you got to think close to...
You got to be 90-something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, with what we saw again, with him against Makai at the All-Star, but like how close was Makai Lewis to fully healthy there? It seemed like his knee was hurt, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. So I'll just read some of the tweets I got. Should have been 3 or 6. Any seed opposite side of Lewis would have been acceptable. I think so too.
Yeah. The 6.
Too low, but won't matter to Storace. Yeah, we know he doesn't care. He doesn't give a rip. Mm-hmm. It's really, that's the funny thing about it. No one's like, oh, poor Carter. He has the one in his quarter. All our minds are like, oh my gosh, Makai Lewis is totally hosed by this situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's so funny, but that's, yeah, no one's thinking that Carter or Penn State's going to be flummoxed by this at all.
And it's like, oh, Carter's getting punished.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the other side of it, too, though, is like if you're Makai Lewis and you're going to wrestle, you know you're going to have to beat Carter Storace.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter if it's on Saturday night or if it's on Friday night or Friday morning? Like, it doesn't matter if he gets second or third? To Makai Lewis? No, I mean, not really. He probably wants to win it. You know,
great tweet from Charles Willard. I don't know if I can pull it in, but it's like the Goodfellas meme. NCAA to Makai Lewis, and it's Joe Pesci walking in right before he gets. He's like, his eyes are all big. That's very good from Charles Willard.
Some people are asking when does someone dropping out of the bracket get reseeded versus when it doesn't?
Great question. They moved it. I'm pretty sure they moved it so that you can almost be like brought in right at weigh-ins, like day of, I want to say.
Well, because now they have like the first replacement and
they're like there and they make there, they yeah. make weight. So,
which is good.
It
is.
That's
good. The way it should be.
Yeah.
We just got a $100 donation. It says, what is the most anticipated potential finals matchup that Askren will likely offer no commentary about? It sounds like this guy just really wanted to give us $100. It was really nice of him. Austin, shout out Austin Colby.
Shout out Austin. Yeah, it's going to be 65. He's like, yeah, they're both going to bring the heat and blah, blah, blah. He'll say something like that. Coach speaky. Yeah. That's going to be weird for him. I think it's weird for all of them. Weird for Keegan, weird for Mitchell, weird for John Messenbrink, Ben Askren. But these are your first world problems, Ben. You did this. I told you don't be good at this. Because this is
what happened. Went ahead and did it anyways.
And he did it anyways. So you know what, Ben? This is what you get. You want to be all good. Hey, here's a question. Mm-hmm. How high does an AWA team place? I think that team brings home a trophy. They got 60 points coming between Mitchell, wow. Keegan, and Parker.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'd be second.
I mean, and if Mako could do something,
No Mulvaney.
Wow,
too many guys at 165.
They have eight guys in the bracket.
We got another $5 donation. It says this. I don't want to read exactly what he said, but Bennett Durham Klein is basically upset that Younger is not the number one seed.
Hey,
he thinks that Kirk is only being rewarded because he wrestles for Penn State.
It's not because of that. It's not Penn State. It's he's the returning highest place winner. He's been number one all year long. Mm-hmm. Every coach that ranks, you can say, oh yeah, the All Star match doesn't count. I didn't just see. Everyone saw him. Everyone Tech saw fall it. Wyatt Hendrickson.
Yeah.
So, regardless of that, that seeps into their brain. They can't block that out. You can't ask the jury to ignore that last statement. So, I think it's that he undefeated. He wrestled, I think, his whole schedule.
I would love for Vito to be the five and Ragusan to be the six.
I mean, we saw Vito be five and Ragusan be six. Yeah, that would be cool.
Because then you get Vito Dayton, which we haven't seen this year.
No, we haven't.
Before we move off of heavyweight, Offsides in the chat has been messaging about one message every 10 seconds. He really wants to know who you think wins between Younger and Kirkfleet.
I have a hard time picking against Greg. The story is incredible for Younger if he does it. He is one of my favorite guys to watch, bar none. But I think Greg is just going to – I think the mat is going to be a factor there just in terms of not that he's necessarily going to ride him out, but just the fact that you know Younger's going to take neutral. I think they're about even on their feet, maybe slight edge to Greg. I think he's just a little bit better, maybe will be a little tougher to score on. I think he can match some of the incredible physicality that Younger brings. And let's be honest about that first exchange, like kind of a goofy way for Wyatt to try to finish in hindsight, and it cost him 6 points. And other than that, and I hate saying that because like, well, yeah, that changed everything, but that was a really good opportunity for Wyatt to score, and he just gave up 6 points. So I still think it's Greg. I won't answer anyone's questions for money.
wasn't for money.
Even deeply personal ones. just for I'm happy to do it.
How much have you guys touched on Carr O'Toole semi?
It's curious to me because on the one hand, it was like that last exchange. If you're David Carr, you're like, if I win that exchange, I'm a great chance to win that match.
Yeah.
You just didn't win the exchange. You lost. There was one exchange where I thought Carr did a great job. And we talked about this on radio, like how Keegan didn't score there was really an impressive thing from for Carr to do. But then freaking Keegan just figured it out in the next two exchanges. And I'm never going to write it off, right? I saw that guy beat him twice last year.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him be really game in that match, but it's tough to pick against Keegan at this point. He will be my pick for NCAA champion against Mitchell, the whole thing.
Someone asked, if Messenbrink beats O'Toole, will he get Hodge over Brooks?
No.
I don't think so. I think there's too much. One, I think beating... No, I don't think he'll get it. I think he's too far ahead. I was going to say that like beating Hidley is a real status too. Is something to beat that guy this year is really meaningful. I think I said on the show today, I think the winner of 197 will win the Hodge. As long as it's Trainer Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Michael Beard is probably not going to win the Hodge, but that's kind of how I look at it. Mitchell will have a case, and he's going to have Hodge candidacy in a lot of seasons, I feel.
Yeah, and Brooks, I mean, if Brooks wins, four-time NCAA champion with the dominance that he's had, it's like, no, we're not doing that. Derringer won over Zane Rutherford.
Who is more dominant.
Right? Like,
that was his third title, not fourth.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be tougher. Brooks has to lose or just – he has to, like, 2-1 his way to a title, which is just not him generally. So, I think it'll be tough, but, yeah, that's what I thought.
You guys want to go back to 133? I interrupted you while you were talking about it.
I don't even remember that.
I just said that I think Arujao at the six is wrong.
Yeah.
Vito at the six. As the like you say, okay, with Kirkfleet, the only reason why he's there is because what he's done in the past. The only reason why Dayton Fix is number one is because of what he's done in the past. Vito Arujao, EIWA runner up to the number two seed. And he's the sixth seed?
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. We've had him ranked number two all year long. He's been number two in the coaches' rank. I don't get it.
Yeah. It has to be a cohort thing, then.
Like, that's as high as he can go.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, because how does he not get a little more of a benefit there? I think he deserves it, for sure.
Who are the winners and losers of seeds? Like the teams?
Weak schedules, weak conferences are winners.
Yeah. Yeah. JD has an article up. We got a bunch of content up already on the site. But,
good job, guys.
About the winners and the greatest disparity between our ranking and the seeds. And it's really clear that, like, deep conferences like the Big Ten and the Big 12 get like their guys get more punished for wrestling in a deeper conference, and like the conference winners from maybe some of the not as deep conferences really get rewarded for winning a conference, which shouldn't
factor in.
It should be who you beat and who you lost to during the year.
Not to revisit this thing, but it's a small example that sort of explains the process. But the Dennis Robin, Caleb Hopkins thing, I learned that, well, Dennis Robin finished three spots outside of the qualification for Big 12. So whatever they get, if they took five, he got eighth or whatever it was. And the Caleb Hopkins was one out or two out. Well, okay. He lost to Bennett Berge and Dustin Plott. There's no one that even sniffs a top 10 ranking in the entire SoCon. He lost to two top 10 guys, including the number two ranked guy. So it's just, it's such a weird thing to hear for someone that knows wrestling to hear that from clearly the people that make that and decide that don't know ball. They don't know the sport.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that that's like an advantage, but it really is. Weak schedules, weaker conference. It is an absolute benefit. And the crazy thing is, you already get the benefit if you're a conference champ. Like, that is built into the matrix. That's one of the criteria is conference finish. And listen, that's fine. You can get the bump for the conference finish, but you need to let the other stuff be equal. And you can't have guys with multiple non-qualifier losses getting benefit. And
wild.
And that applies to the 33 and 34 guys, but it applies identically for the top 8, 10, 12, 15. Yeah. And so that's why you see a lot of it makes sense, but every now and again you're like, what?
Yeah. I think overall the seeds they're fine, but yeah, there's the most glaring ones are the ones where it's like, oh, wow, that guy got a really high seed, and it's because he won a conference where it wasn't very deep. But with teams, I think the toughest draws for teams, I think Michigan got some really tough draws. Just looking at where they're at in the bracket, they're going to have guys that, in order to challenge for a trophy, they're going to have to wrestle through consolations. Like, it's just, they're not going to make deep runs. And, you know, I say that as a Michigan guy. I think Iowa, they're kind of in the same spot where they got some tough draws.
I feel like their seeds are tougher than their draws in some cases. You know what I'm saying?
Like Kennedy at the 12.
Kennedy at the 12. And 65, I feel like.
Caliendo at the 6.
Caliendo at the 6. Like, I mean, Caliendo Ramirez, if he was the 3, he was the 6, you'd say, okay, that's fine.
Right.
That's the match that it was going to be anyways. If Caliendo was the 3 seed, he'd have Julian Ramirez the 6.
Yeah.
That would feel right at a point in the season. So.
Right.
I don't think that's bad. If he's going to go on a run and score real points, it's not going to be because the draw was prohibitive.
Yeah.
Michael Caliendo could be in the semis. He's good enough to do that. Will he? I don't know.
But like Glazier at the 7, having to go through Hidley, is
going to get to Hidley.
Well, yeah. I think he will. Red. He's got all red.
He already majored him.
But if he were at the 6, then you're looking at like, okay, Jackson Smith, you just beat him, and then I'd rather go through Tanner Sloan than Trent Hidley. Right, you know,
he ain't beating Terrence Lloyd. I think Silas Allred's kind of back too.
Yeah,
I thought he looked really good at Big Tens. He got, I think he got third. Yeah, he beat Jackson Smith. He beat Jackson third. Smith for third.
Yeah,
I think he's kind of back.
Jared Franek, though, I think actually he did get a tough draw. He's got Joey Blaze first round.
Yep. But
then after that, Peyton Keller, Johnny Lovett. I think it's fine.
Speaking of 157, did you guys talk about Cody Chittum versus Meyer Shapiros?
Yeah, oh,
you
did? Did.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to fight. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Real quick, Bennett Durham Klein donated $2, said, what's the chance Penn State has 8 national champs?
It's non-zero, but it's closer to
Speaking
zero.
On that, all right. Some people were – sorry. Like,
poor Bennett.
I wasn't sure if you – okay, do you have –
It was only a $2 donation.
Okay, yeah. That was a $2 answer. I mean, okay, can Braden?
Yes.
Can Bo Bartlett?
Yes.
Can Levi Haynes?
Yes.
Can Mitchell?
Yes.
Can Carter Strachey?
Yes.
Can Bernie?
Yes.
Can Aaron Brooks?
Yes.
Can Greg?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And that's – I didn't say Kasich. I didn't say Nagao.
No.
I didn't say
okay, so some people were asking if Penn State, I mean, coming into this year, especially with Shane Van Ness in the lineup, the talk was like, are they going to go for Gable's record? Yeah. Some people want you guys to talk about, do you know offhand Gable's record?
170
record. So Penn State scored 170.5 points at the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
Do you think they can outdo that at NCAAs to break Gable's record?
Well, one thing you got to factor in is Carter scored 0 of those. But also every other person in America joins the bracket. It makes it tougher. I do not think they're going to be able to do it probably this year. Just, you needed Nagao to be a little bit more. Now, he could just do it.
Good.
He could just do it, right? And Bernie, Kasich, man, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's in these matches. Like,
I forgot that Carter didn't wrestle at Big Tens because I thought that Big Ten stat was like interesting until you said that, and I realized Carter didn't score any points because it's rare that teams score more points at the NCAA tournament than they do at the conference tournament.
Yeah, but
a team like Penn State.
Yeah, a team like Penn State could. I mean, also there's more matches, so there's more bonus opportunity too.
That's fair.
And so many of their best guys, their placements don't really change that much at from NCAAs to come. So like, let's look at Kasich's draw. Jaden Abbas, who's a really tough 26 seed, and then Chance Lamer. And so then Kyle, what do you think? Parko and Van Ness had a really crazy match at the All-Star, and then Van Ness was out for the year. Yeah, I don't know if he can. I think he can make the quarter, but can he do that full-on magic, you know, to make it a deep run?
I mean,
these guys are scary to like pick against. Like, you think it's like, man, they lose matches, but it's like, man, you never know when one of these guys are gonna do something so surprising. And then you look back and you're like, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
But they have ten guys this year too.
And it's so rare for them to not wrestle their best at the NCAA tournament. Like, yep. What Shane Van Ness did last year was like, holy, like, this is a different, this has not been the guy that wrestled the whole year. Shit, like Shane Van Ness.
Yep.
I mean, they seem to just always wrestle their best.
Yep. Yeah, no kidding. Okay. Any other questions from our dear friends in the various chat rooms?
Nothing really. There was one. You said that people could pay money and you would answer any. I don't know if I can read this, actually. This is a little gross.
Oh. Well, I might not answer it then.
You said that people could ask you any personal question.
Yeah, I don't know why I said
that. I'm not going to. You know, this is the Bracket Release show. I'm not going to read this. I appreciate the $2 donation.
Thanks.
But I don't think I can read this.
We gotta give it back now.
Yeah.
It's an FRL question, maybe. We'll shout him out on FRL. Right.
I don't like gross. Why would you be gross?
It's not that gross. It's just, you know, subject matter.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Christian said he would answer any question
if he paid for it.
Or money.
It's not that crazy either, but.
Oh my gosh. Just ask it.
It's the Bracket Release show. You really want to hear this question? I don't.
Hey, let me get up and read it.
Okay.
All right.
You want me to fill?
It's not that crazy.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. That's disgusting.
I didn't have to fill that much time.
That's gross.
So you taking that back? You won't answer any question for money?
I mean, why would you want to know that? I didn't know we had such deep
answers
in the
chat. They were just testing your limits, I think.
Bunch of ne'er-do-wells. Well, you found it quickly.
Oh, you want to read it?
Yeah, he wants to read that dirty, dirty.
I mean, if you're in the chat, you can see it. Yeah. I just don't know if our audio listeners want to hear that right now.
No. Gosh, it's dinner time.
It's dinner time.
Especially in, like, mountain time.
Yeah.
They're eating, you know, I don't know. What do they eat in mountains? That's David Bray. Oatmeals. All right. Did we do this show successfully?
We got brackets. We did it.
We got brackets. We have so much content on the site right now.
Any last questions in the chat? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know how Rob got seated higher than Franek, even though he lost twice to him.
Rob beat Franek for third and fourth.
There
Franek, he beat him. Franek medically forfeited.
Which counts as a loss for Franek.
That's an L.
And a win for Rob.
Yeah.
True dat. So he outplaced him at conference, you know, beat him head to head. There's no difference. Oh, I learned this. If I'm 5-1 against Kozak, realistic.
non-ping-pong
or realistic or you're 1-0 against me, it's like the
same thing.
Oh, yours is better. If I beat so 5-1 is not as good as 1-0.
Okay, because you lost.
Yeah,
one.
So basically the fact that Rob has a win, it negates,
cancels it out, so they don't count multiple wins against the same guy.
Yeah, something like that. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
One last question. Eli Hoff wants to know. He said, in all caps, we need to know who could take the title from Penn State.
None.
Not this year.
What are you talking about? I'm sorry. It's just not this year. It's not going to happen. They are historically good. And they're going to be really good next year. They do lose some heat. But if Carter, I'll say this. Carter did not say he was not coming back, which he has been saying.
So we'll see.
He said, we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's been up for a long time. He was adamant he wasn't coming back.
I know.
Yeah.
And then he got asked about it, and then he was like, we'll see.
Offsides wants to know if you guys think Etchemendia is going to win it all.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
I don't think it's crazy, yeah.
He's rounding
this
in
guy, the reason I laughed is because he's been asking questions about Iowa State guys this whole time.
That's cool. I love Iowa State. I think they're a really fun team. Mm-hmm. They're exciting. I think you should be really excited about Anthony Etchemendia.
Yeah.
I think he can absolutely win a title. He's 100% a title contender.
Ryan Jack is the four in that, right? It's four.
Jack
four, Etchemendia five. That's interesting. I think.
Have they wrestled?
Did they wrestle at CKLV? I think Etchemendia might match up better against Jesse Mendez than he does against Ryan Jack.
Should you say that again?
I think Etchemendia might match up better against Mendez than than he does against Ryan Jack.
Really? Why do you think that? Stylistically. I feel like he can like go after and just like physically
I think Jack is just like tricky in like folk style positions.
He's definitely trickier. He's definitely more folk style-y.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I don't know. That's kind of why I think it'll be closer with Mendes. I just think Anthony can just like some guys, he has such a physical horsepower, speed, strength advantage. And
yeah.
Like Jack's one of those guys he could maybe exploit that against.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe.
Who do you guys think is going to win 133?
Dayton, I'm sticking with it. Especially now.
Dude, Ryan Crookham looks so good, though.
He does look good, but it's Dayton's time. Ryan will have his time.
Who do you think wins between Crookham and Vito if they ever get a match? Again.
Yes.
After that finals, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I don't feel confident. That would be a stupid sentence to say. But I feel
more confident after that than ever.
Like, absolutely.
The way that match played out.
Which number one seed goes down first?
Ooh.
You got to feel like
Makai.
It. Yeah.
sorry.
Brayden Davis, round two.
Honestly, yeah. 125. I guess. Yeah, that feels like Bouzakis just pins Dayton Fix and something
that
savage.
That would be wild.
Not Ridge Lovett. I don't think he matches up great against Swiderski. I don't think Swiderski is a
Levi Haynes, Will Luan. Right, Tyler?
That's right. That's a quarter.
A quarter. That'll be before Makai Starachi.
Yes, it will, technically. Yes, that's my answer.
I had one more question. Oh, yeah. How many matches does Penn State win until they lose their first match?
I love this question.
I feel like it's a good question.
Depends if Kale's going to use the old win every match strategy.
I mean, Nagao Nasir.
He uses that sometimes.
He used it all through college, college career.
And it worked.
It didn't work.
Sometimes he goes a little off script and it's like, let's not do the win every match strategy. But I think he's probably going to want to do it this time.
Okay. Right. Nagao Nasir Bailey is the first big test.
That's a round two matchup.
That's round two. So that could only be
Get all 10 in the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They could get 10 in the quarters, like 9 in the semis, 8 in the finals, 5 champs.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, they're really good.
Who's gonna take second?
Michigan.
After seeing the points. Do you think it's going to be NC State? Do you think it's going to be Nebraska? Oklahoma State?
I'm going to fill them out.
You're going to fill out the bracket?
I fill them out.
And then you're going to...
And that'll tell me.
I genuinely think Michigan.
That's how I do it.
That's just what I believe.
This is what he believes. I thought you thought they were going to win.
Jack Padding said, Tyler, you should take it personal that there's been no pigtail matches discussed.
That's funny.
That's pretty good.
We talked about that today. Your pigtail match.
Honestly,
you remember what you said about it? About why?
I said I really wanted to score team points for Michigan at NCAA, so I was happy I had a pigtail.
Oh yeah.
If you don't know, I qualify for nationals. I was the 33 seed in 2020 when it was canceled.
You never got to score.
I never got to wrestle my pigtail match.
This sounds bad, but it could be like the most inconsequential NCAA qualifier ever. Like, not only did you not get
to wrestle
it, well, you're the 33 seed, and you didn't even get to do it. It's messed up. I'm not happy about it. But
me both.
But you know what? It is one way we could say he might have taken out the bull. But you know what? When they see the pigtails used to be kind of interesting. Well,
they used to draw them in.
They used to draw them in weirdly, and like you never knew where. One time there was a national champion versus a national finalist in a pigtail, Mike Pusillo versus Mike Miller.
Yeah,
that was crazy. And then one time, I feel like this doesn't really happen. Oh, I guess last year Dom Demas was like the 33,
mm-hmm.
But
he went on the run.
Joe Smith was a 32 or 33 because he had like only conference matches.
Didn't he wrestle Marinelli?
Yeah, and they almost beat him, and then he got really tired.
Titans fan is adamant. He really thinks that you, in your heart, believe that Trent Hydley is going to beat Aaron Brooks. He really wants you to admit.
No. What it is this. I, in my heart and mind and soul have been in a place where I've just not entertained 197 for a long time. And I'm just realizing, like, no, this kind of stuff happens. And Trent is just on a, he's just killing it right now. And so I'm, it's like my own, like, self-correction for my mindset towards 197, which is that Trent can do it. He will not be my pick. I don't have any personal allegiances in this situation other than, yeah, none.
This can be the last question. It is, well, where was it? The lowest low seed to make a deep run. Seed has to be greater than 10. Off the top of my head, Cole Matthews.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a good one.
I mean, let me find a 25 that.
I mean, we got 125, right?
Order. I mean,
oh yeah, 125. It could be anyone.
Outside,
you just should skip 125. It doesn't even count in this discussion.
Doesn't count. I mean, Nagao's a 10, and he goes to Penn State.
Steve-O the 20.
Yeah, I liked your. I mean, Caleb Smith out of the 15.
Yeah,
I like
DeAugustino out of the 18.
And I don't want to skip that. 33 is not deep enough, I think, other than Purdy Teske. They should have made him. He's the 15 seed. They should have made him the 14 again.
Klebov could make the quarters.
This is like a joke.
That's the 24.
You really think?
I do.
All right.
You really think?
Oh, what about, I mean, Rocky Elam.
He's 12 seed.
12. That's pretty high.
Multiple-time All-American.
He can make the semis.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's look at 57. There'll be someone in there. Definitely no one at 65 because all these.
Andonian's the 12.
I mean, Brock Mahler can't because he's on Levi's side. Well, he's allowed to, but I don't think so. Cody Chittum out of the 14. Love Cody. I don't think he matches up great against Meyer. But if they fight each other, who knows what's going to happen.
You think he could be a backside warrior?
Yeah.
Michael Block is at the 13.
Yeah. I like that. Franek's a 10. Zerbin's an 18. There's actually a lot that I feel. Filling these out is going to be it's going to be hard.
Yes.
I'm going to cry. Okay. Any last words from them?
Any last words? We have a little delay, so we might miss them, but
I appreciate them.
Not really. No.
Let's get out of here. The brackets are up on the site, flowwrestling.org. We have a ton of content on the site, as is. Please check it out. We have more coming. We'll continue. We'll have a conveyor belt of wrestling content, all NCAA related, from now until the thing's over and beyond.
Really quick, we got a $5 donation from Eli Hoff. Christian, give us most confident to least confident to win a title from Penn State. Just rattle it off. They gave us $5. Hurry up.
Okay. Most confident. Brooks, Greg, Carter, Davis, Bartlett, Truax. Did I say Haynes yet?
No.
Shoot him up.
Okay.
Shoot him up like second.
Okay.
Kasek Nagao.
That's 9.
And Mitchell.
Wait, no, that was 10.
But Mitchell.
Never mind.
Mitchell like 6.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the $5.
Thank you.
That's a great list.
I did. Yeah, in order. You just saw my hand moving. You know, Mitchell, I said it here, but, you know, right about up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was hard. Thank you guys so much. This was so fun. Let's do it again next year. Thank you for John Kozak, Tyler Meiser, Chris Biles. See you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.